Support for the Capital Connection comes from
United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org. And New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartout. Joining us this week, and we're very happy about it, is Dr. Donald Levy, director of the Siena College Research Institute. Welcome back.
Thank you, Alan.
Okay, so let's talk about the new polls. A new poll finds incumbent Democrats in New York State are in a strong position 3 months from Election Day. A new poll from the Siena College Research Institute finds Governor Kathy Hochul leading Republican Congressman Lee Zeldin 53-39% among registered voters as she seeks a full term. Hochul is ahead by nearly 50 points in New York City, where Zeldin holds a slight edge in the less populated upstate area. So, what do you make of it all?
Well, first I'll make one slight note that this was a poll of likely voters. As you know, as the election approaches, we shift our polling from the entire universe of registered voters to those who indicate that they are likely to vote in this upcoming election. So this is really the first in our sequence of those pre-election polls that are of likely voters. What do I make of it? I mean, certainly the current governor, Kathy Hochul, has a solid lead. 14 points is an impressive lead. Clearly, as you point out, she holds an overwhelming advantage in New York City. But at this point, I'm hesitant to call this an insurmountable lead. You'll remember that of recent gubernatorial elections, the closest a Republican came to winning the governor's seat in the state of New York in the last three elections was Rob Astorino, who lost to Andrew Cuomo by 14 points, the exact margin that Kathy Hochul leads Lee Zeldin right now. But at this point in that race that Cuomo defeated Astorino by 14 points, the lead in polling in August was much wider. At this point in the election, Cuomo had a lead of 32 points over Astorino. So Zeldin's starting at a point much closer to making this a competitive race than Astorino did in 2014.
So what do you make of the fact that you have a person running for office who is a woman? We've never had a woman governor, right?
Right.
And it comes not from New York City, the five boroughs which have always determined which Democrat is going to win an election. What do you make of all of that?
Well, she's a different candidate. Certainly Andrew Cuomo was the governor of the state of New York for what seemed like a lifetime for many New York voters, and now Kathy Hochul is a new leader. She does have strong approval ratings. Her job approval rating is 52% approve, 41% disapprove. Even upstate, which sometimes is seen as a weak area for a Democratic leader, upstate gives her a 50% approval, a 40% disapproval. So she continues to have a base of support upstate, probably most especially in her home area of the Buffalo area. And as a woman, she certainly is seen very strongly by women voters. Her approval rating amongst women in the state of New York is 60%. And clearly, and I'm sure we'll talk about this, some of the issues, most especially the Supreme Court's ruling in Dobbs overturning Roe v. Wade, is an issue that many women are energized relative to, and that Governor Hochul will certainly stress her position on that issue to voters as we approach the November election.
Have you been able to pick up in your polling the women anger about Roe v. Wade?
Well, certainly we asked about it. A straight-up question, do you support or oppose the recent Supreme Court decision that overturned Roe v. Wade? And there, across all New Yorkers, 68% oppose that position. But that number goes up to 74% amongst women. So a 12-point gender gap, 62% of men but 74% of women oppose the Supreme Court's ruling. And when we ask another question, do you think abortion should be always mostly legal, mostly illegal, or always illegal? Again, there we see 74% of all New Yorkers believe that abortion should be mostly or always legal. That number is up to 77% amongst women, with 51%, a majority of all women, saying abortion should always be legal. So we're not quite reading anger in that, but we're reading steadfast support amongst women in the state of New York that abortion should be, if not mostly, then always legal, and that they oppose the Supreme Court ruling. So I think that, you know, when we turn this into a political issue, when Kathy Hochul stresses her position that she is dedicated to protecting a woman's right to choose, dedicated to ensuring that abortion remains legal in the state of New York, that will resonate strongly with women voters. And to whatever extent Lee Zeldin takes a opposite position, he is going to have a difficult time persuading women that they should accept a position other than protecting a woman's right to choose here in the state of New York.
We're talking to Dr. Donald Levy, director of the Siena College Research Institute. So with that in mind, talk to me about the down-ballot Democrats poised for re-election. How are they doing?
Well, you know, first I'll mention what we call the generic question, where we ask about congressional control, because this gives you a basic read on where voters stand with one party versus the other. Would you like to see the Democrats or the Republicans control the House? And here, New Yorkers by 55 to 40 indicate that they prefer Democrats to Republicans. 85% of Democrats prefer Democrats. 85% of Republicans prefer Republicans. Independents are virtually evenly split. And as you know, Democrats have approximately a 2-to-1 registration advantage, although we project that in a general election, Republicans will close that Democratic majority a bit, you know, down to closer to probably about 21 points. Okay, so that having been said, what about the down-ballot candidates? And there we see, you know, decided striking early advantages for Senator Schumer. Senator Schumer has a 21-point advantage over his challenger, Joe Pinion. You know, and clearly when you look at how well-known, you know, those candidates are, in the case of Schumer and Pinion, I mean, you see a Goliath versus Bambi situation. You know, Senator Schumer is, you know, well-known to virtually everyone in the entire state of New York. He has a 49% favorable, as opposed to a 43% unfavorable, but over 90% of New Yorkers have an opinion of him. In our poll, Joe Pinion is only known at present to 10% of New Yorkers. So, in effect, it appears as though Joe Pinion is getting the what we would call the generic Republican vote. He gets 35% of the vote, 77% of the Republican vote. He is the Republican candidate against a well-known and sufficiently well-liked United States senator. As far as the controller's race, always fascinating. Tom DiNapoli has been in office for he's been elected three times. He does his job. He's in the news. He's in the newspaper. But he remains relatively unknown to many New Yorkers. He only has a 22% favorable, 11% unfavorable, 67%, two-thirds of likely voters say, you know what, I don't really have an opinion about Tom DiNapoli. That's about his fave-unfave numbers each time he's been elected. And in most recent elections, he had the widest majority of any statewide Democratic candidate. And he looks poised at this early stage to repeat that, because when we say, are you going to vote for Tom DiNapoli or Paul Rodriguez, At this point in time, 51% of voters, over 70% of Democrats, even 22% of Republicans, 42% of independents say, I'm voting for Tom DiNapoli, 30% say Paul Rodriguez. So if you compare Rodriguez's number of 30 to even Pena's number of 35, or Zeldin's number of 39, you see some Republican line erosion. So DiNapoli is up by a very, very impressive 21 points. A closer race is the Attorney General's race, where sitting Attorney General Letitia James gets 50% of the vote. Michael Henry, the Republican challenger, 36. So a 14-point advantage. And again, Michael Henry at this point is virtually unknown to New Yorkers. 90% of New Yorkers say I don't have an opinion of him. So with he only trailing by 14 points in what ostensibly is a Tish James versus the Republican candidacy at this point, Michael Henry needs to see if he can introduce himself to the voters of New York and identify where he is different than Tish James and see if he can garner additional support. But still, at this point, he trails by 14 points.
Well, Don, you've been around for a while now. Can somebody make up that kind of behindness in a poll this early in the game and then come out and win?
A 14-point lead is not insurmountable in the abstract. I think that any of these Republican challengers face an uphill battle. I mean, you can't argue with the registration differential of about 25 points. And even if we're correct, and many prognosticators are correct, and that in an off-year election like this, in a New York State gubernatorial, that you know, election that's not a presidential election, the expectation is that Republicans will turn out at a rate greater than Democrats. So even if the rate closes to approximately 20 points, 21 points, that's still a decided advantage for any Democratic candidate over any Republican candidate. So it's going to take a series of issues, potentially a series of mistakes by the leader in order for that 14-point gap to close. In future polls, of course, we'll concentrate on some of the key issues, because I think the candidates, most especially for governor, are tending to run on slightly different issues. And we'll have to see if the issues chosen to be stressed by Congressman Zeldin resonate more with independents, more with some Democrats, than do the issues that are being stressed by Governor Hochul. Is it insurmountable? Absolutely not. But it is a challenge for any statewide Republican to defeat any of certainly these Democratic candidates in the upcoming election.
So here's a question, direct question, which is New York now just a certifiable Democratic state? And are we wasting our time when we want to know what people think of Republicans?
Well, I think those are two very different questions.
All right.
I think that New York is, in terms of statewide, a deep blue state and is predictably a Democratic stronghold. I think that that's especially true in elections of for president. I think that's ostensibly true in an election for United States Senate. You know, each challenger, for example, over the years to Senator Schumer have been soundly defeated. In terms of the gubernatorial election, I think voters are capable of saying, you know, let's take a look at how we're doing right here, right now in the state of New York. You know, and despite the advantage that Governor Hochul has in the polling, there are still issues on which New Yorkers are not happy. When we say, is New York State on the right track or is it headed in the wrong direction? Only 36% of New Yorkers say it's on the right track. Only 54% of Democrats, only, you know, just over half of Democrats say New York is on the right track. So there is a weakness there. There is a sense amongst the electorate that something's got to change, something's got to get better. Now, to what extent do they blame the governor, and to what extent are they willing to take a chance in voting for a Republican that many of them don't know, there remains a chance. So we want to know what voters think. I think there's clearly we know that New Yorkers are extremely upset, worried, concerned about economic issues. In our index of consumer sentiment in our June poll, we saw that the index of consumer sentiment was markedly lower than it has been, and that New Yorkers are worried about their financial well-being. So that creates a sense amongst the electorate that perhaps it's time for there to be a change. So I think it's important, relative to your second question, to measure, to try to understand the depth of concern of voters on economic issues, on issues relative to crime and personal safety, and to determine as best we can whether they're positions on those issues could potentially lead to shifting of votes among some Democrats and or of independents over to the Republican slash Zeldin camp. So it's important for us to measure those. If you do the flip side on those issues, you know, if you talk about the issues being perhaps gun safety, gun regulation, Roe v. Wade, abortion, those are issues that amongst a very large majority of New Yorkers, their position resonates far more with Governor Hochul's position than it appears to be Congressman Zeldin's position. So I think that those issues, if they trump the economic issues, will keep New York in a deeply blue state of mind.
So in your opinion or in your statistical analysis, New York is growing more blue?
I think that in terms of voter registration, the advantage that Democrats hold over Republicans has grown. However, I think that, you know, each election cycle has its unique attributes. You know, we are not immune to surprises that take place in some elections between, you know, August 1 and November 1. So we'll have to see. I think that clearly our numbers show that the faceless Democrat versus the faceless Republican, the Democrat wins by 15 points. So then you've got to get into a campaign, and both candidates have to seek to define themselves. Both candidates seek to define the other one, and see to what extent the electorate can be moved. You know, that isn't to say that there aren't certainly areas of New York that are deeply red. There are you know, congressional seats, there are legislative seats that are reliably and predictably Republican seats. So in those areas of New York, if you do the polling by virtue of lawn signs or coffee shop conversation, you're in a state that is red, not blue. In its totality, New York, I think any analyst would agree, remains a Democratic stronghold, and any Republican seeking statewide office faces a decided uphill climb.
How is Joe Biden doing in New York?
Well, Joe Biden continues to do well in New York. He has a break-even favorability, 48-48. His job approval amongst New Yorkers is slightly negative at 47-51, but decidedly better than his national. His national job approval in our most recent poll was nearly 2-1 against, 33 positive, 60 negative. So stronger in New York, and of course driven primarily by the topic we've been discussing, the density of Democrats. Amongst Democrats, 72% approve of the job that Joe Biden is doing, only a quarter disapprove. Still, you could argue that in a state like New York, you know, Joe Biden would be looking for numbers well above almost break even. In fact, you know, his numbers on job approval, he's a minus four. Kathy Hochul is a plus 11. So he's not even close to keeping pace with the Democratic governor of this state. So, you know, Biden's numbers in New York are okay. You know, if you compare him to Donald Trump, his favorability, unfavorability number in the state of New York is nearly 2-1 against, 32 favorable, 63 unfavorable. So Biden, compared to Trump, is doing well in New York, but, you know, not as well as a Democratic president in a state that voted overwhelmingly for him would want to see.
We are talking to the brilliant political scientist and pollster, Donald Levy, a director of the Siena College Research Institute. Okay, so let's go somewhere else right now, and that is the Supreme Court fares even worse in the poll that you've taken on the heels of the June decisions overturning New York's limits on the concealed carrying of handguns and the Roe v. Wade abortion rights ruling. In fact, more than two-thirds, 68% of New Yorkers say they oppose that decision. Only 25% say they support it. What do you make of it?
Well, certainly the Supreme Court rulings are out of step with the general feeling of New Yorkers. On Roe v. Wade, we've talked about that. Yep. I mean, you even look at Republicans. You even look at people who self-identify as conservatives, and there, 51% of Republicans support the Supreme Court ruling, 60% of conservatives. So it's not overwhelming support, even amongst groups who you would think would be most inclined. If you look at the concealed carry, certainly New Yorkers are looking for more regulation, more sensible gun safety regulation than the Supreme Court's ruling will lead to in New York. So, for example, do you support or oppose prohibiting concealed weapons in sensitive locations? 60% support. Do you support or oppose requiring private businesses that allow people to carry concealed weapons to have signs that state that the concealed carry of weapons is allowed? 63%. You know, and do you support or oppose expanding the eligibility requirements to obtain a permit to carry a concealed weapon to include completion of a background check with character references and firearm safety training courses? 82% of New Yorkers support that. So New York, when you consider the full range of public opinion, are interested in what they would deem to be sensible gun safety regulation. They're in favor of government intervention into gun laws, as opposed to taking government out of gun laws. Now, interestingly, you know, when you flip to abortion, there, you know, New Yorkers are on the side of taking government out of regulating that particular, you know, human activity. So a little bit of a flip-flop, but certainly in both cases, New York public opinion is on the opposite side of the fence from the two recent Supreme Court rulings.
And what you're finding, and we're almost out of time here, but you're finding that New Yorkers don't particularly care for Donald Trump, along with Andrew Johnson, James Buchanan, Warren Harding, and Franklin Pierce in the bottom five. So Trump, a native New Yorker, I mean, he was in New York for a long time, moved to Florida now. He's not well liked here.
Well, you know, he about a 2-1 negative against him in the favorable unfavorable. You'll remember that in the most recent presidential election, you know, Biden defeated Trump in the state of New York by about 23 points. We continue to ask people, for example, a question in many of our polls. We use this for weighting purposes. Do you think that the 2020 election was stolen from Donald Trump or not? A position that you know, the former president espouses, of course. And about 21% of New Yorkers feel as though the election was stolen, but the balance say it was not. In terms of the presidential ratings that you refer to, that's a poll of presidential scholars that we interviewed. That's nationwide, and where the residents of Rushmore are typically rated, and again are rated in our most recent poll, as the top presidents, and then you add FDR to Rushmore in the bottom five, and you know, this is a position that is a bit ignominious, but Trump has joined the presidents like Andrew Johnson, Buchanan, Harding, and Pierce as the five worst regarded United States presidents across 20 different categories as rated by presidential scholars from across the country.
Does that surprise you at all?
It does surprise me a bit, and I think that history has a way of sort of sorting out presidential ratings over 30 or 40 years. We'll wait and see. Hopefully I'll still be here at Siena measuring this in 30
yes, you
years.
Will. I guarantee it.
You know, whether former President Trump ticks up in some of those ratings, but at present, members of the Academy, presidential scholars, are deeply are in lockstep saying that they would rate former President Trump no better than a president like, you know, the Johnson, Andrew Johnson, Buchanan, you know, who are widely seen as by history as really botching their presidency. I would expect former President Trump to come out of that bottom five ultimately, but never to approach you know, the top ratings of presidents, you know, the Lincolns, the Franklin Delano Roosevelts, the George Washingtons.
Well, I hate to say it because I love talking to you, Donald Levy, but we are out of time. Our guest for everybody who wanted to know is Dr. Donald Levy, director of the Siena College Research Institute, home of the vaunted Siena poll. Dr. Levy, thanks so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Alan.